being aware of when the thought of the mantra occurs is what we're trying, what we're doing. We're not doing anything. I mean, what we're really doing, the purpose of the meditation is to practice not doing, and to be aware of the spontaneous, automatic, non-volitional way the mind functions. Thoughts come to us automatically, and then we imagine that we thought them. We take this. We imagine that there's an I. There's this imaginary I in there. Takes credit for it. But the thinking is automatic, just like perception. It's like I open my eyes and there's the world. Wow, I really did a great job of creating the world. Oh, I did it again. You know, we don't do that. We just accept it as it is. And in the meditation, what we're trying to do, the aim is to stop the doing, stop the imaginary doing, this hypnotic delusion that we are the doer of action, and experience the automatic, effortless nature of thinking. The way we do that is we have a technique. We're going to sit down and we're going to think this mantra, and then and it's hands off. We don't actually do it. We just be aware of when the faint idea of the mantra occurs to us, and then don't do anything with it, and then we forget it again, and then it'll occur to us again, and then we'll forget it and occur to us again, and just sit for 15 minutes, just experience that automatic, hands-off nature of thinking. Yeah.
Would it be accurate to say that it's an exercise that triggers, you know, we're so identified with the content, mental content and experience, that it's an exercise that breaks that identification. It creates a dissociation to some degree, which opens you up for something beyond.
Yeah, it does a lot of things. This letting go of being the doer of meditation.
Letting go of control. Right?
Letting go of control.
15 minutes.
Yeah, anybody can do that. I mean, you know, the whole reason for control is insecurity. We want to be in control because if I'm not in control, something's going to sneak up and bite me. And so we're vigilant and we're in control. I mean, people, you know, we're all afraid of being out of control, of losing it. There's some practical, you know, it's survival. You know, the monkey needs to survive in the jungle, so it's got to be aware, otherwise something is going to sneak up and bite it on its ass, you know. So, I mean, it's practical, but if you're looking for reality, if you're looking for the truth behind the appearance of everything, you have to break that. You have to go beyond that. You have to transcend your defenses and actually see what's really happening.
Mike, so when you realize that you're having a thought, that's when you repeat the mantra. And the idea is that by repeating the mantra, the thought disappears. And then you carry on. Did I get that wrong?
Well, kind of, except that, you know, are you saying that you actively repeat the mantra? Because what we're looking for is the spontaneous realization of the spontaneous experience of thinking the mantra to come.
But that happens when you recognize that you're having a thought.
Yes, yeah. You recognize when we're lost in thoughts, we're lost in thought. There's nothing you can do about that. You're lost in thought. It's automatic. That's the way the brain works. But then that eases. There's a certain amount of relaxation that's occurring, and we get lost in thought. It's almost like dreaming. You don't even know what's going on. But then it comes this point where the being lost in thought, whatever it was we're thinking about, kind of peters out, and then there will be the recognition. Oh, again, I'm sitting here to meditate. The mantra, the whole thing. It just comes automatically. And you don't try to hold on to the mantra. You don't try to keep it there or think it clearly or anything. It's just however it comes. Just like getting a joke. You know, you don't do anything with it. And automatically get lost in thought. Forget all about the mantra, meditation, everything. Get lost in thought. And that automatically, again, eases up. And then because we sat down to meditate, the brain says, oh, I'm practice. I'm supposed to be thinking a mantra. So the faint idea of the mantra comes automatically. We lose it, get lost in thought. Thoughts ease up. We recall the mantra again. Automatically, effortlessly, we don't. The main instruction for meditation is take it easy. The other, better, maybe more concrete is we don't try to meditate. I mean, some meditations require you to struggle and try, but not this one. This one, this is all about letting go of the illusion of being the struggler and the doer of meditating.
So that chart is not instruction as much as just description.
Yeah, this is not instructions. This is just a description of the automatic nature of thinking. And it's also the automatic cycle of meditation. This occurs in meditation also.
So like clinging and letting go, and clinging and letting go.
Well, you might be clinging. That may be, clinging's probably automatic, yeah. Yeah. And when you recognize you're clinging, you relax and have the faint idea of the mantra again. What's responsible for moving the attention, moving into deeper levels of awareness, is that looking for the mantra. You get here, this O is also kind of a looking for the mantra. Don't think it clearly. Don't try to repeat it or anything like that. Just however it comes spontaneously and automatically is, could be, it's like, I don't even know it's there.
But the mantra is something that's learned prior to engaging in the meditation.
Right. If you have, we're gonna practice, we're gonna try this and practice it. But if you already have a mantra meditation, if you have a mantra, go ahead and use that if you're comfortable with it, if you like it. You know, if it's been working somewhat for you and you think you want to continue it, great. Whatever I would say make it short and sweet. A long mantra is more difficult to think spontaneously and effortlessly. I mean, how long? What if the punchline were really long and involved? Would it be a joke anymore, you know? Usually jokes are short. And so it's possible to think it spontaneously and automatically. If the mantra is really, really long, it's not as easy to think spontaneously. All thinking is spontaneous and effortless, but it doesn't seem like it does. So what we need is a nice, short, pleasant, meaningless mantra that we can just recall quickly with no effort.
So why don't all meditators wake up?
Well, it's possible to, you can, if you put any effort into it, if you put any effort into the practice of meditation, you inhibit you reinforce the illusion. I mean, effort and struggle is imagining that the I is the doing of it. Oh, I'm meditating. I'm thinking the mantra. It reinforces the delusion rather than wakes us up. The whole trick with meditating is letting go of the doing. It's dropping the struggle, surrendering to the process, however you want to describe it. It's effortless appealed to me on some level, you know, that there was going to be an effortless practice. And I struggled with effortless. Don't expect that you're going to sit down and close your eyes and be effortless right away. But if you find that you're putting any effort into it, stop, let it go, relax a little bit. Expect that nothing's going to happen at all and that you're not going to put any effort into it. And that's really the ideal way to approach meditation. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to take it easy, I'm going to take it as it comes. I'm sitting, my intention is to think this mantra, but I'm not going to lift a finger. I refuse to make any effort to meditate. That's the ideal start of meditation. Like I said, if you have a mantra, make it short. If, you know, a lot of mantras are fairly long. And it's better one syllable or two, maybe. Yeah, that would be all right. Yeah, that would be okay. But it's good to have something that's absolutely meaningless. And I think a mantra in a foreign language is better than one in your own. If there are any Indians here, I don't see any Indians today, so we can use Rama. It's very simple. And it's traditional, so you don't have to worry. I'm giving you a mantra that...
You can run next door and get a book on it. Or
yeah, you could run next door. Yeah. Or just that, or, you know, with an A on the end. But again, it's not important. The important thing is that it's meaningless, it's short, it's pleasant. It's something that the mind will look for spontaneously, and that's what we want for a mantra. If you have a mantra that's, you know, Rama Lama Ding Dong, it's a little too long. Cut it back, you know, cut it back to the first syllable or something like that.
What about something like awareness? Would awareness be too loaded? Kind of a.
I think it's too amorphous.
Well, you said faint. I mean, it's
yeah, it's really faint. I mean, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work. I would say almost anything that we sit down and don't do will work.
Isn't it that you want to give your mind some content to chew on this?
Yeah.
Repetitive.
I think it's good to have...
You sit your thought in a certain content and you visualize a form or something and you keep it, so it always comes back to the same... thing.
I think it's good. It's good to have a concrete relative. I mean, a thought is not very concrete, which is, you know, they're already fairly amorphous and subtle. So you're already starting a little bit down when you first start to meditate. So you have this, but it's good to have a concrete. It's good to have an object that you're supposed to think that you don't think. You know, I don't know how else to say it except that, you know, we're going to sit with the intention of thinking that, and then it's hands off.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something similar to what Augie just did, and that is, what about for the mantra substituting the sense of self? Mm-hmm. Everyone has a sense of self, sense of being, you know, me, I am, I'm here.
I think almost, like I said, I think anything would work as long as it's done, as long as when we do it, we don't do it. As long as it's effortless. I think it's, you know, to me, it's almost easier to have something like a mantra because it's, you can tell when you're putting any effort into it. You know, it's a lot easier. I would say almost anything would work. Like I say, if you just sit and it's like a mouse. It's described as a mouse. I mean, a cat watching a mouse hole. And when does that mouse come out? When am I aware of the next thought? I mean, you can do that. You can just sit there and look, kind of look in the direction of where your thoughts are coming from, and you'll pick them up a little earlier than you would have before. But I think it's a little bit too tricky. It's easier to have a specific thought. Like the mouse, you know, it's either a real specific thought that you're looking for, because you're going to have there's going to be a lot of thoughts. The mind can be full of thoughts, and one of those thoughts, you can have a mind full of thoughts and still have the thought of the mantra, and it's the mantra that we're looking for as a real faint idea. So I think the mantra has real advantages over a lot of other systems. Zazen uses paying attention to the breathing. You're aware of the breathing in and out. And I forgot there's one. Do you have a mantra?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mantra is also something that you don't say. It would be a good idea. Is everybody familiar with this one now? Everybody Rama? Everybody got it in their mind a little bit? So now we're gonna make it real subtle. It's gonna disappear. And then we're going to see where it comes from in our own awareness. Okay. Paying attention to. Anything can be a mantra. Yeah, it's just mantra is something that an object of awareness that we think without effort. How about that? It could be anything. It doesn't have to be a sound or a word. But I think those are really accessible. They're really easy. The whole thing becomes mechanical. No intellect. You don't need any intellect. It's just like opening your eyes and seeing. When this, the awareness, the remembering the recall and the recollection of the mantra is automatic.
Do you, for example, I could see myself doing this and then saying, berating myself. Oh, I fell asleep. Whatever. Do you have advice from your experience of how do you avoid doing that to yourself, beating yourself up because I'm not doing it effortlessly? And
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's what happens more often than not. You know, there's this. There's trying to do it right, and this feeling of I'm not doing it right. Maybe I should put just a teeny weeny little bit of effort into it. I mean, when he says effortless, he doesn't really mean effort. He can't really mean effortless because if I don't do it, it's just not going to happen. So maybe so there's all kinds of these kind of thoughts going on. But every time we become aware that we're thinking those other thoughts and we're not thinking the mantra, then we just come back to the spontaneously recall the mantra again. Yeah, that's going to happen. There's a bunch of things that we don't in effortless meditation. There's a lot of stuff we don't do. We don't do anything. So, but I'm going to list some of the things that we don't do. We don't try to meditate, first of all. We don't concentrate. We don't try to sit especially straight or still. I mean, if your nose itches and you spontaneously scratch it, that's great, you know. We don't try to make a rhythm of the mantra. We don't try to think the mantra clearly. We don't try to control thoughts. We don't try to push thoughts out when they come in. We don't try to hold on to the mantra. We don't try to keep repeating it if it tends to disappear and we forget it. That's we take it as it comes. We don't try to keep it from changing. It can get backwards. It could be Amrama. You know, it can become distorted. It can appear to be whatever. However it comes spontaneously is fine. We don't expect anything. We don't expect any results. We don't sit down with the intention, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to experience transcendental consciousness and it's going to be great. We don't anticipate anything happening. We don't resist any feelings. If we have a thought and it's, gosh, this sucks, I just can't do this. You know, this is not for me. Okay. We don't do anything with that. And our concern is with the spontaneous recollection of the mantra, and anything else that happens is incidental. And like I said, don't expect to be able to be totally effortless immediately. This is something that it's a gradual process. But and that's why don't meditate for 3 hours or something like that. You know, it's short is fine. Letting go is difficult. Letting go of the process of thinking is one of the hardest things that we'll ever do, is let go of this hypnotic suggestion, this feeling that we are the doer and we have to do it or it's not going to happen. This is practice in non-doing. Main thing is take it easy. That's the big instruction. Take it as it comes. Whatever happens in the meditation is fine. You know, only meditate at home for 10 or 15 minutes, 20 tops. It can only take so much effortlessness before you start going crazy. Let's do nothing. We'll do nothing for a while here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to describe how we start meditating first, so just listen to the description. And then after I've described the process, then I'll have you close your eyes and open your eyes, and we'll go through a little process of introducing the idea of meditation, and then we'll meditate for 10 minutes. First we'll meditate for just a few minutes, and we'll see how that goes, and then we'll meditate for 10 minutes, and we should be able to wrap the whole thing up in about 20 minutes. So. When we sit to meditate, we sit comfortably and easily. There's no need to have a special posture. If you can sit in the full lotus position, it's comfortable for you, and you like that, go ahead and do that. But just sitting comfortably in a chair, and so that you don't have to, you're not going to experience any pain in your legs or your feet or anything like that. And then And then after sitting and we're nice and comfortable, then we close our eyes. And then when we close our eyes, we naturally begin to feel, just with our eyes closed, we begin to feel a little bit of mental quieting. We don't try to feel like we're mentally quieting, but it just comes on us. Any thought that we have, any thought that we have comes to us spontaneously and automatically. We don't try to think a thought. Thoughts just come. That's what the brain does. It produces, it's a thought-producing organ, and it starts thinking. And that automatic thinking of thoughts is exactly the way we want to think the mantra. That same spontaneous, automatic, effortless process of thinking is the way we want to think the mantra also. And like I said before, we will forget the mantra and we'll get lost in thought, and then we'll recognize that we're sitting there to meditate, and that's one cycle of the process. And we will again recall automatically, we'll recall the mantra as a faint idea and don't do anything and get lost in thought and come back and
relaxing.
Well, the main thing is that it be easy, effortless. Again, we're not trying to meditate. About the mantra, the mantra is a tool for going into awareness, going into subtler and subtler levels of thinking. So we don't say it out loud. It's not something to put into conversation or post on your refrigerator or anything like that. Any speaking of it or whatever is going kind of going in this direction. And what we want the mind to do is get into the habit of only picking up the mantra as a faint idea. So turn it around, it becomes less effective. So in practice, we sit just like we did for our 15 or 20 minutes at the most, twice a day, morning and evening. It's better to do it before breakfast and before dinner, because with a full stomach, the tendency is to go to sleep. And it's okay if we go to sleep in meditation. If we feel really, really drowsy and just can't keep our head up, then it might be better to lie down for... take a nap for a few minutes, and then when we wake up, then continue the meditation, because we'll be more alert and more able to experience the mantra at a subtler level of thinking. So if you feel like you need to go to sleep, go to sleep and meditate later. Any other questions about the practice?
Go ahead.
I have a question. Is it of the same use? Like I do find, especially when I'm walking, or especially when I'm driving my car, I don't get the mantra, but I catch myself really absorbed in thoughts, and I kind of go, whoa, you know, I've really been absorbed in thoughts. Is that of the same value, or?
Well, I think that the important thing is in everything, take it easy, take it as it comes. I mean, ultimately, all thinking is effortless, but we imagine that we have to put effort into it, and we have to make it happen. So, being aware that you're lost in thought is spontaneous and automatic, and recognizing that it is spontaneous and automatic. That's of value, I think. Yeah.
I think this is kind of in relation to what you were saying. Sometimes, if I'm, let's say, at work or something, and I get stressed out or just kind of get caught up in what's going on, I will consciously recall a mantra. Or some people are just going to count up 10 or something, but I almost see this being a centering tool when you can't meditate. When you don't have time to meditate, then like recalling a mantra or just, you know, taking a few deep breaths. And
this is meditation, is practice and letting go of control. So it's pretty easy to let go of control for 10 minutes at a time. It's not very threatening. So, and what we find is when we let go of control, not only do there's something not bite us, but actually we feel better, we're more relaxed, we're smarter, life is easier, just a little bit. And so it encourages us to let go a little bit more. And really, the whole process of waking up from the delusion is surrendering. It is letting go of the illusion of being in control. The practical way to do that is to let go of control, kind of as a little experiment every day for a few minutes.
Like I often think that just the tension in my neck, just holding my head up, as little as that is, that to me that's a sense of effort. And I think if I just laid down, I'd be really more, if you see, feel that much more relaxed, that much more effort could drain out of me. But I know a lot of people shy away from meditating, laying down.
Well, I don't think there's anything really wrong with it. The tendency would be to fall asleep. You know, the body kind of has cues. We're more aggressive and alert if we're walking, if we're physical activity. If we lie down, the body says, we're lying down, I guess it's time to go to sleep, take a little nap here. So if you fall asleep, then you're not meditating. I think sitting up is kind of the best in between. You're aware, you're alert, but you're in a state of rest at the same time. So that's why meditation is traditionally done sitting up. There are pictures of the statues of the Buddha lying down. So there's no reason why you can't meditate.
A lot more stone used that way.
Yeah. You don't have to stand it up either. It's carve it lying down. It's easier. So effortless.
Yeah.
So, that's the only, you can meditate standing on your head. You can meditate any position, any time, anywhere. You can meditate on a bus. It's ideal to meditate at the same time every day in the same place. Because there's associations, the mind, it's that time. The mind automatically starts, if you've been meditating, the mind is automatically going to start quieting down because it's time to meditate. But, it's okay if before breakfast you're on a bus every day, going to school or to work, that's fine to meditate on a bus. It doesn't have to be a quiet environment to meditate. I mean, noise is fine. A faint, you can appreciate the faint idea of the mantra maybe even better in a really noisy environment, because there's not the tendency to want to think the mantra clearly because it's just too noisy to hear the mantra at all. So you can meditate anytime, anywhere, but regularity is helpful. That's all. I found even with incense, when I first started, incense was burned. Real light sandalwood incense was part of the teaching procedure. It's a Hindu, a lot of incense used. And I found that when I burned incense, when I smelled that smell, I would automatically start sinking into meditative, deeper, subtler levels of awareness, because of the smell, just brought up that association. The brain said, time to meditate. Time to let go.
Yeah, along with that incense, have you ever found a dependency on those triggers? So it's like absent incense or absent a teacher or absent a guided meditation, that the process doesn't click?
No.
I have.
No, okay. No, I found that the only obstacle that I encountered was this tendency to want to do something. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to become convinced that I really didn't have to try and meditate. There was nothing I had to do, but it was totally automatic.
Did you sense that non-doing is happening all the time already?
Yeah.
it's already there. You're ignorant of that reality. And so you're bringing yourself, or the no-self, whatever, closer to that actual point.
Right. Exactly right.
Where there's no doer. There's no doer even speaking. Yeah. Only talking is happening.
Right.
You can get really caught up in the confusion of that.
Yeah. I mean, you've had that experience of other things, too. You know, like walking down the steps, and you suddenly realize, oh, I'm walking down the steps. How do I do that? You know, it's just ordinarily, you just dancing down the stairs on your balls of your feet just barely touching the edges. You don't even think about it. I mean, you think about walking down the steps, it's pretty complicated. You tend to get tripped up. And, you know. But yeah, when it comes down to it, life is totally effortless, totally spontaneous. There's nobody in there doing anything. It's automatic. But there's this persistent delusion that we are the doer of it, and we have to do that.
It's pain-free.
Yeah, it is correct, and it's pain-free. And there is no suffering, and there is no struggling. But meanwhile, we're suffering and struggling. We've got to do something to get over that. So the only thing that seemed really practical to me is Maharishi used to call it starting with the goal. And it's that same idea of selling water by the river. We're sitting down with the intention that we're going to not do anything. Well, we weren't doing anything to begin with, but
you said it's possible to do too much of not doing. I mean, it's possible.
Well, there is a caveat, and I didn't bring that up, but yeah, one of the things that happens when we experience subtler levels of awareness and the nervous system gets a lot of relaxation, it tends to say, here's an opportunity to dump some stuff. You know, and it starts dumping things. Usually it's accumulated stresses. It may be old stuff from way back. You know, you may find yourself crying about the breakup of a relationship that happened 20 years ago. There was this leftover emotional knot in there about that. And so there's this relaxation that happens in the meditation. The nervous system says, I'm going to dump this. It lets go of it. And then there's this experience, tears coming down. Oh, my God. I miss her so much. But then it's gone. So if you meditate a whole lot, it's possible for you get so much rest that a lot of these things get let go, and you can be overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety, and you know, there can be a lot of pain coming out. It's a good thing, but better to have it slow, you know, a little bit at a time. So that's the only thing. Meditating too much, that's the problem. The ideal, the enlightened are always in a state of meditation. They never do anything. So, but in order to have that state, all this leftover stuff has to be let go of eventually. I mean, the only way to be empty of the personality is to let all the things that constitute the personality leave. And a lot of this old emotional stuff that's what the personality is made of. Memories and old feelings and defenses and the whole thing. So easy does it with the meditation. You can overdo it. And then you say, geez, on this meditation I'm supposed to be feeling good. I'm supposed to be blissful. This is supposed to be great. I'm supposed to be relaxed. I feel like shit. I must be doing something wrong. Well, you're not. You're just overdoing it. To answer any questions. This is not an easy thing. You know, letting go is hard to do.
That would make a catchy lyric.
Yeah. Well, we've had a lifetime of holding on and being in control, and it's just no way to just suddenly let go. So it's going to be a gradual process, and there will be difficulties with being effortless. So. And one of the things I noticed is that I really, early on, I needed somebody to go to. I needed somebody to say, yes, you're doing it right, don't do anything, take it easy.
no effort, faint idea. You know, I needed to hear that over and over and over again. So, and you can call me, you know, and get my email address and email me. And I'm glad that, yes, indeed, no effort, take it easy, reinforce it.
And your friend in TM, I mean, he must have had this over the many years, and yet...
And he did. That's a lot. There are a lot of people who they don't hear the effortless part. That's amazing. I sat and listened to the message over and over and over and over and over again, and I heard effortless, effortless, let go, don't do anything, take it easy, take it as it comes. And a lot of these people heard something else. When I talked to them, they didn't get that message.
But your friend was never let go of the need to affirm himself.
He was using TM as I practice TM, the best of all meditations. I am a teacher of transcendental meditation. He was using it to puff up his personality. And so I'll bet because he was puffing up his personality, when he sat to meditate, he didn't let go. He was meditating. I'm meditating. I'm thinking the mantra. That's the only thing I can think. So how can you meditate for 40 years and not... You can do it wrong. You can put effort into it. Any effort you put into it, it will not work.